I'm Suzy Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Suzy Larson Live. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you're walking through a battle right now, you may wonder why. Why am I under attack? How will I even get through this? What's God up to in the middle of it all? Well, starting today, for the next four Fridays in a row, I'm going to talk about how to be strong in battle and how to discern if we're giving the enemy easy access to our lives and how to understand what God might be looking for in us as we navigate our trials. My new book, maybe you've been hearing about it, Strong in Battle, Why the Humble Will Prevail, actually releases next Tuesday, August 9th. So like I said, the next four Fridays in August, we're going to be giving away five copies every Friday, along with the 10-pack of beautiful quote cards. So each book will come with a pack of 10 quote cards that are just gorgeous. So if you want to get in on the drawing, I would love to get you in there. So text the word book to 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Again, the title of the book that I'll be drawing from this Friday and the next few Fridays, Strong in Battle, Why the Humble Will Prevail. And I'm going to read a couple of quotes from the quote cards. You're just going to love them. All right. They're just beautiful scenic pictures, like somebody hiking in the sunset. It says, if you could see the end from the beginning, your confidence in God and your courage in battle would soar. Here's another one. Do you trust God more than you trust yourself? Are you willing to follow Him to a restful place even when your schedule says it's impossible? Those are quotes from Strong in Battle. Another quick announcement before I dig into the content for today is this, that we are going to be doing at Faith Radio an online free book study on Strong in Battle. And the sign up opens up on the release date next Tuesday, August 9th. So you've got several weeks to sign up. And then when the sign up closes, that is it, because they have to put all of those emails into a system so that you can get a weekly email with quite a bit of content from the book. So you don't really need the book to go through the study, but it'd be so fun if you could get the book. So that's why we're offering five copies. So 20 copies in total during the month of August. So if you sign up, the link is not ready yet, but it will be next week. So just mark your calendar next Tuesday to sign up. It's free. So you'll get an email every week and you'll have access to the live stream that I'll be doing, a live stream kind of event every week for the month. And we're really excited about that. So what I want to know from you today, if you want to engage with me, is to tell me, what's your biggest battle right now? What are you going through right now? Can you text me and let me know? 877-933-2484. You know, one of the things that I picked up on a few years ago, especially when I was writing this book, I really was honing in on an enemy strategy against us, is that he wants so much to, he's had a long time to study us. You know, I don't believe that he knows the future, but he's been around a long time. He knows your story probably better than you're even in tune with it. So he knows the things that have broken your heart. He knows maybe some of the unfulfilled desires of your heart. He can see, what has weakened you when he pokes at you and your knees buckle and your emotions go south. He knows that. And so he really is hoping to kind of bring this accumulative case against God. He will, especially if you're under fire, which I'm kind of under fire right now, and I'll explain that in just a little bit. But what he wants to do is take all your past battles, your current struggles, and project them into a fear of the future. And what he wants to do is to get you to project your own fears of the future and imagine a future that God is not in. And the thing is, we take the bait when we're not thinking about it, because he makes a good case against God sometimes. Well, if God allowed all that to happen, what worse thing might God allow to happen? And suddenly we take the bait and we're trying to imagine a worst case scenario. And that's where irrational fears will come in. But you got to know, if you're in Christ Jesus, there is no future moment that God's not in. It does not exist. The enemy does not get to build a case against God. He's the source of confusion, of fear, of hardship. He's the thief. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come, Jesus says, that you have life and life to the fullest. So we wonder at times, why does God allow so much hardship in life? The thing is, he gave mankind a free will. You know, he wants us to choose to love him. He wants us to choose to follow him. That means some are going to choose not to love him. They're going to choose not to follow him. And when we are bent on our own destruction and we make devastating choices, the most vulnerable on the earth suffer. And here's what's happening. We are behind enemy lines. We are living with the consequences of so many fallen choices, people taking the bait of the enemy's traps. And, you know, Jesus is the king of the universe. He's king of kings and lord of lords. But the enemy is allowed to rule in places where we give him dominion. And, you know, I opened the book with a story of where I was sleeping. I was out of state at a writer's conference, sleeping in the basement of a friend's home. And it was a dark basement. And I was jarred in the middle of the night to awake with what I call a trauma fear. I was so startled with fear that it was so real. It was visceral. I felt it in my skin. I don't know if you've ever had that happen before, but I had this like inner knowing that my son, one of my sons, was going to die and not make it out of his 20s. He was in his young 20s, and it was this visceral fear. It was tangible. I didn't know if he was in an accident at the moment, but I went out to bed, went on my face, and I cried out to God, "Oh God, don't take him now. He's too young. Oh God, please no, please no." Well, that boy is now in his 30s, but that fear was visceral, and it's what I call a trauma fear. And you know what had happened was I was the one who'd opened the door weeks before to worries about him. He'd been wandering in the ways of the world a little bit. And instead of challenging my fears, I left them unchallenged in my soul. And that's the thing. The devil is a legalist. And if you give him access, he's going to take it. And he will attack you at the moment when you're weakest, maybe when you're sleeping, maybe when you're tired, maybe when you're hungry. You know, in the recovery community, they use the acronym HALT as a time to stop when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, because that's when you really are weakest, when your defenses are down, and when you're really most likely to make choices you never otherwise would. And the thing is, that is when the enemy goes after you, when you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired. And so if there are lies that are lingering in your soul, if there are fears that have been left unchallenged, those are open doors to the enemy. There's a very big difference between a trauma fear and a God-given warning. So how do you know the difference between a trauma fear and a God-given warning? Well, trauma fears ignite terror, dread, in the sense that something much worse is around the corner. Has anybody ever walked through that? Am I the only one? Please tell me I'm not the only one who's just been blindsided by an irrational trauma fear where it felt so real. You know, the devil tries to, as I said, to get you to project a future, a fear into the future that God's not in. But no such scenario exists. And a trauma fear kind of gets you to believe, you know, you can't trust God, where a God-given warning ignites alertness, caution, wisdom, dependence on God. And it kind of tells you loud and clear, I must trust God. A trauma fear tells you, you can't trust God. And a God-given warning tells you, I must trust God. I can't do this without God. You know what? When we're not anchored to God's goodness, we are easy prey for the enemy of our souls. And we often fail to realize that the enemy uses the pain of our past along with our fears of the future to build a case against God in our minds. But the enemy, he wants us to project those fears into a future that God's not in. As I said, he doesn't get to do that. If you are in Christ, it means Christ is in you, which means there's no future part of your story where God's not present. You're still standing, and God is in the process of redeeming your story. I'll tell you a little bit about what's going on with me. And the girls prayed. You know, we have a powerful prayer time before the show. The producers of this show are amazing. And Bill's producer, Rosie, amazing. These are fiery, amazing women of God. And so Rosie joined Angie Kim and I for our pre-show prayer time. And I'm telling you, fire. It was fire. It was powerful. These women know how to pray. And what Rosie said was so good. She's like, Lord, and help Susie remember, she's no victim. She's a victor. And I know that. I am no victim. I'm a victor. But a lot of you know I had that major oral surgery a couple months ago. And it, when I was a teen, I had really crooked teeth. And some oral surgeon, I almost said some dumb surgeon, but I can't say that. So I said it, but I don't mean it. But anyway, some sort of oral surgeon that did not know what he was doing convinced my mom that he should pull four of my main chewing molars because I didn't have enough room in my mouth. Well, those back two molars that were remaining fell on their side and ignited TMJ, very, very painful TMJ from the get-go. So that's been, you know, since I was a teen. Well, and then Lyme kicked in and all the other things that happened. Well, when I had that oral surgery 2 months ago, they cut into 7 places of my gums and broke through the bone to get the infection, re-crowned 5 teeth and pulled 2 teeth that were root canals that had infection in them with Lyme, but left me with that one tooth that's lying on its side to chew on. And it has set TMJ ablaze to a whole new level of pain. The ringing in my ears that I've had my whole adult life is at such a pitch that it's like when I lie down at night, the numbing in my neck, the numbing in my face, the pain in my jaw, and the ringing in my ears, I feel like someone's hooking my neck and my head to an electrical charge. When my hubby lies next to me snoring because he falls asleep right away, and I have to take all these deep breaths to just get through. It's so depressing. I can't even tell you. So I saw a dentist yesterday who's a oral surgeon, and he almost started crying. He's like, I cannot even believe what your mouth has been through. So it turns out the 2 sensitive teeth, one of them is on its side, will probably need to be pulled eventually. The other one needs to be recrowned. I need a bone graft so that I can get my gums ready for implants in a few months. And I need a sinus surgery to lift up my sinuses because they're hanging too low. And if they put an implant, it'll poke into the sinus. So anyway, not only have my mouth been through a lot and I'm in current just buzzing, ringing pain, I do have several months ahead of me of several more procedures and a lot of money. And I cried most of the day yesterday. I was so discouraged, but all my prayer people started to pray and my heart's in a much better place today. I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. In fact, Angie, during the break, if you can find that song, I think it's Stephanie Gretzinger, but it's I Am No Victim. No, it's somebody else. I'll look it up. Anyway, I think it'd be good to play that. But all that to tell you, this morning I rehearsed his promises. I remembered the things that he has said to me. And he is faithful. And he also promised in this world we'll have trouble. But he said, you still got to be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. If we are in Christ, Christ is in us. The Holy Spirit is alive and active in us. And there's nothing God allows in our life that he won't redeem. And he is going to redeem every part of your story too. And so I think we lose heart when we kind of borrow tomorrow's trouble on today's strength. But you take it a day at a time. His presence is in the now. His grace is in the now. He goes before us. He goes behind us. And his hand of blessing is on our head. We're going to make it through. We're going to make it through. When we come back, I'll talk about some storms in Scripture, some people in Scripture who face their own storms and what we can learn from them. We got 5 copies of my new book, Strong in Battle, Why the Humble Will Prevail. We're giving away 5 copies every Friday through the month of August as I do the show. And we got, with each book, you'll get a 10-pack of beautiful quote cards. So I hope you win a copy. I do love this book. I'll be honest, this feels like one of the most important books I've written to date. I pray it encourages you. We'll be back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. Go, go tell the world about me. I was dead, but now I live. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. We're doing something different this day, this Friday, and the next several Fridays in the month of August. We're going to walk through the content of my new book. It's not even out yet. It's out next week. It's titled Strong in Battle, Why the Humble Will Prevail. I'm so grateful Chip Ingram and Sheila Walsh endorsed it and thrilled about that. This feels like one of the most important books I've written in a long time. And we've got 5 copies to give away today and next Friday and the next Friday. So we're going to give away a total of 20 copies in this month of August on this show. So you can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And each of the books will come with a 10-pack of really gorgeous quote cards. So one of the things I want to delve into, and they do in the book, is where I look at some of the storms or people that walk through storms in Scripture to see what we can learn from them. Naomi is one. You know, she faced this unimaginable loss because in the face of a national famine, her husband led the family outside the boundaries God had set for them. And I've written on that story, Ruth and Naomi, a few times. I love that story, but just for the sake of the point that I'm making here today. So Naomi and her husband were in the land of Bethlehem, of course, with their fellow Israelites, and Bethlehem came into a time of famine. Now, if Elimelech would have had a big story and a kingdom mindset, he would have entered into corporate intercession on behalf of his nation, because everybody, his people, God's people, lived in the land of bread. Bethlehem means house of bread, and they were out of bread. So to enter into the bigger story would be to say, God, we are your people. We live in Bethlehem, the land, the house of bread, and we're out of bread. Are we missing it? Is there a reason, God, that we are not being provided for? Have we missed it? But he didn't do that. He took his family and thought, I'm going to go to the next town, to Moab. And there's no indication in Scripture that was God's idea. Most scholars believe he just was grabbing for a quick solution. But, you know, the thing is, Moabites hated the Jews. And the Jews did not like the Moabites. The Moabites practiced open immorality. They sacrificed their children to the gods. They really practiced the things that defied the heart of what the Jewish people stood for under God. So there really was no sign of Elimelech being led by God. And he took his wife and his two sons. And one scholar said that he traded one famine for three funerals, because in due time he died. And then 10 years later, his sons, who had already married Moabite women, then the sons died. And Naomi faced so much loss. And I want you to imagine that. She paid a price when her hubby took matters into his own hands. And we pay a price when someone is called by God and they're faced with a need. If they don't run to God with that need, they run to a man-made solution. Everybody pays, or I should say a lot of people pay. And I see a few stories that have come in where, when we turn to man-made solutions, we pay a price. And one of the things that God wants so much from us is to get us into the habit of living in response to his voice and not in reaction to our circumstances. His spirit is alive in us, and he will lead us. And one of my friends, my prayer partner friends, she says, we got to stay on the Holy Spirit's heels. And, you know, I'll tell you one of the things that I kind of got into that I didn't even realize it when I was working so hard, fighting, contending for my health in these last 7 years, is there were times I would grab hold of this supplement and that supplement going, that'll help, and I need this because I'm a researcher and, you know, whatever. But I realized there were times I was getting ahead of God, because I didn't think he was speaking, because he seemed so silent. You know, he was working in these other areas, but it was crickets in this area. And that is often a test of our heart. Will we wait on God, or we jump ahead and try to make something happen? Well, Scripture is full of stories of people who got tired of waiting on God, took matters into their own hands, and always, you know, with catastrophic results. And God loves us so much, but our dependence on him is our superpower. We've got to know that our default response is to lean on him, to wait on him, to say, I am not moving until you speak. I'm waiting for your voice, Lord. I'm going to listen for what you say. And so Naomi, you know, she paid a price. And yet God is such a redeemer, isn't he? He led Ruth to walk with Naomi back to Bethlehem, and God grafted her, Ruth, into the lineage of Christ. What an amazing story of redemption. Even when we do take matters into our own hands, God redeems it. Well, another person who faced a storm was Jonah, as did the sailors with him, because he was running away from God and not towards God. Jonah's storm was a consequence of his own disobedience. And here again, people pay a price when we abdicate our God-given responsibilities. And sometimes our storms are our own fault because we're doing the opposite of what God said. But that's not to say every storm is your fault or every trial is because you brought it upon yourself. And we really hurt people when we try to do that with others, like Job's friends, when we try to figure out why someone is going through it. And but I think Jonah's story is good for us to ask ourselves, God, have I come out from under your protection? Have I taken matters into my own hands? Or have you asked me to obey over here and I'm running from you over here doing something different? Well, now there's Esther. She faced a life and death moment. Why? Because God had prepared her to stand in the gap for her people. Esther's battle, different from Jonah and Naomi's battle, was a culmination of her life's calling. So as in the other stories, you know, people paid a price when someone stepped out of God's best will for them. But in Esther's situation, many Jewish people lived and were blessed because of the way she stewarded her storm. She fasted and she prayed. She went before the king. She stood in the gap, and many people were saved as a result. If we could really understand that God is still on his throne, the enemy is on a short leash, and we will be standing with Jesus. He will have the last say. I'm reading a contemporary version of Pilgrim's Progress right now. It was so good because the book I'm working on right now, so I'm launching Strong in Battle and racing to the finish line to finish my next book. And that new book I'm writing, I address the difference between quenching the spirit and grieving the spirit. Those are two different things. And so I just explored that in my chapter, just finished writing it. And then last night going to bed, I was reading about in Pilgrim's Progress, there's this point where Christian is brought to this metaphor, this building where he's being taught all these metaphors of the Christian life so he could be better equipped to follow Jesus in the future. And the person in the house takes him to this room where there's a fireplace. And there's this yucky man that's trying to douse the fire. And Christian says, what is this I'm seeing? And they said, well, this is the devil, and he's constantly trying to quench the spirit by dumping buckets of water. And quenching, that's what it means, is to douse. So you think of the fire of God in us, and the enemy's constantly looking to douse that fire. And so then the man, the guide or whatever, takes him around to the backside of the fireplace, and there sits a man pouring oil in the fire, and he's got all kinds of joy on his face. And he says, what's this? He said, this is Jesus pouring the oil of anointing on the fire of the saints. And the enemy cannot keep up with God's outpouring. God is making sure the fire burns bright until the saints come home. Isn't that so good? God's going to make sure our fires burn bright. But I will tell you, we can maybe forsake the comfort God offers in our battle when we get into a place of victimhood, when we get into a place of feeling sorry for ourselves. And, you know, I was pretty despairing yesterday when I got the news of all that is ahead for me in my mouth and my jaw, and even how long it's going to take for me to not have pain and to feel better. But then I started to remember, you know what, God, I know you're faithful. And this is my one chance on earth. In heaven, my faith will become sight. So I really won't, you know, I won't need faith then because I'll see you and I'll see the fulfillment of everything that you are. But now on earth in these trials is my opportunity to please you with my faith. And you've been good and you're being good and you're going to be good again. But prior to that declaration, I was whining and I'm like, I thought I asked you for safe passage because every time I either write a book or release a book, I'm telling you what, I come under so much fire and I'm like, I'm Lord, can I have safe passage this time? Can this be this one time that I'm not completely battered, you know? And, I'm getting kind of battered and, so I'm whining. I thought I asked for safe passage. I thought you said you'd give me safe passage. And he goes, you're not unsafe. You're safe in my care. Yes, you're under fire, but you're not unsafe. And it's true that I'm under his care. I'm under his charge. And that's when I kind of got my wits about me. And I say all that to say, whatever battle you're facing, don't refuse his comfort because it's there. He brings comfort to our hearts. And in fact, and I think it's Psalm 84, it talks about when you walk through the valley, you will make it a place of refreshing springs. The very places of your struggle will become a place of refreshing springs. I want to know how I can pray for you. So text in some prayers as we continue to just talk about the battle. God is with us in battle. And this is sparring practice, friends. We're just learning how to stand, learning how to use our shield, our sword, how to stand in faith, how to not take things personally, how to remember who we are. This is our chance to please God, to say, I know who you are, God. I know who I am. And when it's all said and done, I'm going to be the one left standing. Enemies going down under my feet. In Jesus' name, we'll be back in a minute. Really good day. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live. We're doing something a little different today in the next several Fridays during the month of August. I'm not going to have a guest. You're going to be my special guest, and we're going to dig into the content of my new book, which officially hasn't released yet, next week, August 9th, Strong in Battle, Why the Humble Will Prevail. And this feels like one of the most important books I've ever written. And we're giving away 5 copies, partnering with Bethany House. So our ministry and then Bethany House are kind of partnering together. And so we're giving away 20 copies during the month of August, every Friday on this show. And each book will come with a 10-pack of really gorgeous, gorgeous quote cards. Let me see if I can pull a few more up here to see what you think here. There's an ancient path of wisdom before us, paved with the footsteps of the saints who've gone before us. They've learned well the lessons of rest, perseverance, and trust. Jesus wants to transform you into someone you never dreamed you could be. He wants to turn your fear into faith, your tendency to self-protect into a passion to step out with purpose. Those are just a couple of the quote cards that the books will come with. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. I've been asking you just to text me, what's your battle? What's God teaching you? And I love this. Tom says, God has been teaching me not to be offended or to be disappointed in people, whether they're close friends or strangers. I need to constantly forgive. By forgiving, oh, I love this, Tom. By forgiving, my body's getting healed. When I stop forgiving, my body reacts and it stops healing. That is so powerful, Tom. Thank you so much. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And so we're talking about the difference, first of all, between trauma fears, which are just the enemy, you know, blindsiding you. He's had a whole lifetime to study you, so he knows what would break your heart. So he blindsides you when you're, you know, weak or tired or sleeping, with a trauma fear, an irrational fear of a worst case scenario. And it can send you right into panic. And oftentimes he's able to do that because we've maybe entertained lesser fears at a time, in the past, and we didn't challenge those fears. We didn't shut the door and stand in faith. And the thing is, we are in a time, we've never been in this day before. You're probably tired of hearing that, but it's true. What's worked in battle in the past will likely not work today because we are in a day of acceleration. The enemy knows his time is short. And so our battle strategies have got to change. And when he can get to us, if there's lingering lies and doubts and self-contempt and fears, and even like Tom was saying, grudges or anything that's sitting inside, there is a storm coming that brings it to the surface. I often say God will allow an overplayed enemy attack to position you for freedom. And there's just times he's going to let things get stirred up because he wants that stuff out of us. And so I want to talk now about the difference or why we're facing attack. I opened this particular chapter titled, Why Am I Facing Attack? With a movie I'd seen. I didn't even remember what the title was. But, you know, you picture this gritty group of people on this. I think they were like on a mission trip or a humanitarian trip. But there was one, you know, gal with perfect nails and perfect hair and really cute clothes, but not at all, you know, acquainted with the outdoors. And she, like a bug, was zipping her head, and why am I going through this? Why does it have to be so hard? And you're totally not cheering for her because she's so spoiled. And, you know, sometimes when you hear people ask, you know, why is this happening to me? People interpret it like that, like we're being spoiled. And so then you'll hear the reaction, well, why not me? And I guess that's a good question. You know, what about all the things God has prevented? And if he allows such blessings, why wouldn't he allow hardships that he plans to redeem? But I want to go back to this question. Why is this happening to me? But not in a whiny, self-pitying way, but in a brave, humble, courageous way. Why is the enemy allowed to attack me in this way? Why is this thing happening right now? With a great humility and with great courage. And you've heard me teach on this verse before, but I have to bring it up again just because it fits in this context so well. But James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God is a military term, and it means get back in rank. And sometimes you hear people quote that verse out of context, where if you're under attack, just resist the devil, and he'll flee. But he will not, unless you submit to God. As Watchman Nee once said, you can't have authority unless you're under authority. So when we step out from under the authority of God, and we are harboring attitudes and engaging in things that are contrary to God's will, picture your life, a big giant house with all kinds of open doors, you know, in a crime-ridden area. We're giving the enemy easy access. So a very brave, humble question, first question should be, God, search me. Is there anything in me? Am I out of rank in any way that I've given the enemy legal access? He's a legalist. And if I've given him legal access, he's going to take it. So show me. And as my friend Maria, who's been on the show before and she's coming on the show again, has said, if the Lord shows you something, repent. And then roar. And if he doesn't show you anything, just roar anyway. Because here's what's so powerful about that verse. When you submit to God, when you do the work, really, of going, the enemy is repeatedly coming against my marriage or my health or my finances or whatever. Have I given him access? And the Lord shows you something and you repent. And then it says, then once you submit to God, now get up and resist that devil. And he must flee. And he must flee means a couple of things. One is he runs for his life. And two, it means he's looking for a safe place to dwell. We don't want to give him any safe place to dwell, but he finds a safe place when he finds agreement. If we are agreeing with him about anything, he finds a safe place to dwell. So if you're agreeing with the enemy about your spouse, about your body, about your pastor or whatever, the enemy is accusing day and night, and Jesus is interceding day and night, and your agreement means everything. Is this resonating with anybody? Can somebody give me an amen? I think in the battle is when we really, as Tom was saying, have lots of opportunity to pick up offense against others, to blame people for our trials, to get offended with God. But when we submit to God and then we rise up and we resist the devil, he has to flee from us. He doesn't get to stay put. He just doesn't. So, you know, to answer the question, why am I facing attack? Well, here's an answer. Because Jesus loves you. The enemy hates you. And though God's promises and plans will ultimately prevail, the devil will stop at nothing to distract, discourage, or derail you from your high calling in Jesus Christ. So I want to play a song, at least a portion of a song. I think it's called I Am No Victim. I think that is the title, by Kristen DeMarco. I think this is, yes, thank you, Angie. This is such an important song because one of the ways we almost dismantle our own battle stance is when we start to feel sorry for ourselves. We don't need pity. We have the promises of God. We don't need pity. We have the presence of God. We have the purposes of God. If we could just peel the sky back and see that greater are those who are for us than those who are against us, that God is sovereign and in full control, that the angels are actually gathered in joyful assembly around him. So there's happiness in heaven. There's joy because the angels know that we will prevail, that Jesus is coming soon and we are his people and he does mighty exploits through his children. If we could see that or even get a glimpse of that, our courage in battle and our confidence in God would soar. And so maybe this is a song for you today. It is for me at times. I mean, I'm not above a pity party once in a while, but we cannot stay there. We cannot stay there. It doesn't serve us well. It doesn't serve our purpose well. There is strength for you right now. There's God's promises for you available right now. His presence is available right now. You can be strong in battle right here, right now, today. So let's listen for just a bit and I'll come back. victim. You're a victor. You have a father. He's involved. He's interested. He delights in every detail of your life. Your battles will not have the last say. Jesus is going to have the last say. He knows who belongs to him. And you know, one more thought before we go to our final break here is that there's an end date to your suffering. There's an end date to your battle. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever." Enemy can't even stand the thought of your future. This is why he's doing everything he can to bring up your past and to destroy your present. He is so terrified that you will get a hold of the fact that you could not be more loved if you tried, that your name is written on God's heart and his hand, and he's the one who's able to keep you from falling, to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be majesty, glory, power, and authority, now and forevermore. So how do we prevail? Well, you keep your zeal, as Scripture says. Keep fanning the flame. Be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction. And be faithful in prayer. And let's keep joining together. Let's keep being together every day so that you remember you're not alone. Don't isolate. Stay together. We're going to keep praying for each other, encouraging each other. We're going to keep it real. Nobody has it all together. Nobody has it all together. Nobody has it all together. Some look like they have it together more than others. But we're all desperate for Jesus, and praise God, we have him. We have him. We're going to make it, and we're going to cross that finish line with tears in our eyes, joy in our heart, cheering for each other. And Jesus is going to provide the most grand welcome home that we could ever imagine. We have reason to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. We'll be back in a minute.
Hey, this is Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen on the Faith Radio Network. I'm seeking to reconnect the eternal with the everyday. I do that in part through conversations about today's relevant issues, hopefully helping to equip you to bring Christ back into every conversation in your life. You can subscribe to my daily podcast at myfaithradio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thanks so much, I like that song, for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. We're doing something a little different today in the next several Fridays in the month of August. You are my special guest. I'm not interviewing anybody. We're just talking about Jesus, his faithfulness, and our battles, celebrating the release of my book that comes out next week. So it's not even out yet, but we've got copies in. Strong in Battle, Why the Humble Will Prevail. And thanks to Bethany House and to our ministry, we're partnering together to give away 5 copies every Friday for this next month. So I've got 5 copies along with 5 10-packs of really gorgeous quote cards. So 5 of you will get the book and the quote cards. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Here's a few more examples of the quote cards. They're beautiful scenic pictures. I wish you could imagine hikers or people sitting by a lake with a sunset. Our setbacks are actually setups for that great day. When God announces to all creation that we belong to him, our God is meticulous and miraculous. Here's another one. God will lead you beside peaceful streams. He's well able to restore your soul while the nations are in chaos. And here's one more. Your trials have trained you. Your mountains have strengthened you. And your dependence upon God has deepened you. If you could see what God has accomplished in and through your faith, you would release a holy roar and refuse to back down from another battle ever again. Amen. Amen. Love that so much. So we're going to talk a little bit about questions we should ask ourselves when we come out of the battle. Sometimes when you're so weary, battle weary, and you want relief, you want the thing to end, and you're kind of coming out of it, that's when we're kind of tempted towards self-indulgence of certain kinds. And I'm not trying to get all legalistic on you, but don't think for a moment when your battle is over, the enemy goes to a beach somewhere and takes a day off. He hopes to get us when we're down, when we're not paying attention. So I came up with 7 inventory questions to ask ourselves when we've come through battle. And I think if you're on the backside of a battle, I strongly encourage you to sit down with a journal and your Bible, a cup of coffee or tea, and give some time and space for this so the Lord can help you sort through what just happened and what you've been through. The first question to ask ourselves is, what do I know about God now that I didn't know prior to this trial? That question sounds familiar, doesn't it? Because I ask my guests that question a lot of times at the end of the show. But what do you know about God now that you didn't know prior to your trial? In fact, if any of you have answers for that, if you're standing on the backside of a battle and you're like, I know this now. I didn't know this back then. What would that be? I'd love a text. Let me know. The second question is this. How has this battle impacted my theology? Super important question. So have you adjusted your theology in any way? Have you manipulated your faith to match your life? You know, an excellent way to discern this is to note, are there lingering disappointments in God or in others, or maybe offenses that are over unresolved pain? So, you know, a lot of times people fail us in our battles. People hurt our feelings or say things they shouldn't or try to sum up our you know, our struggle. Don't you love it when people do that? Like Job's friends, you know what your problem is. No, please tell me. I don't know. And I would love to know your input. But anyway, little snarkiness coming up, but you know what I mean? When you come through the battle, suddenly you remember people who poked at you and were unkind or minimized your trial, or maybe you're disappointed in God, or maybe there were some unhealthy indulgences that you justified because of what you walked through, or maybe there's a biblical compromise you know you're making because it feels so painful and difficult to stay aligned with God's will. So that question, how has this battle impacted my theology? It's just, it's a hard question. But it's an honest question. It really does need answering because it just shows you what's in you that still needs to be healed. It's not for the purpose of condemnation. It really is for the purpose of invitation. Third question, how has my battle impacted my perspective of others? So ideally, our battles refine us in such a way that we grow in love and compassion for others. We become more like Jesus because we've been refined in the battle. It was Jesus' compassion that compelled him to minister to the crowds. So ideally, that's the way we've come through. But if we don't process our hardships in a redemptive way, hear this now, we'll find ourselves irritated with others, impatient with their weaknesses, and even dismissive of their trials because they don't compare to all we've endured. So if you've come through a battle and you're rolling your eyes at people who are walking through lesser trials than what you've been through, that just means your perspective needs to be redeemed and maybe there's something in you that still needs to be processed and healed. Fourth question, what biblical truths did I forget that I need to remember? This is really important. And what truths did I remember that I don't want to forget? You know, his word is our sword. His word is our plumb line. And there are times right in the middle of the storm, the Lord will bring up a truth to you that you maybe learned as a child or something, but all of a sudden it's just, it's a glaring truth. It's got life in it. What were those truths? Write them down. Maybe memorize them, pray them, say them. Or maybe there's truths that you forgot that you want to remember now that you're like, I need this for next time. Just spend some time with that. Here's one of the, probably the most important questions of the seven. It's number five. What were the defining moments of my battle when the storm raged and God met me there? This here, the answer to this question, this is your story. This is your song. This is a part of your amazing testimony. You're an overcomer. In fact, if you can identify that even now, your defining moment of your battle when the storm raged and God met you there, we want to hear your story. I want you to call our number that you text to, call the Faith Line. Tell us your story because your victory story is going to encourage someone else to kind of persist and persevere through their own battles. So that question again, what were the defining moments of my battle when the storm raged and God met me there? And I'm just going to tell you, as you articulate that, as you give some thought to your victory moments in your battle and you steward that so that you really kind of have an answer, that's an answer for the hope that's within you when people ask about it. I'm telling you what, God is going to open more doors for you to testify. He's going to provide opportunities for you to say, this is where I was, and this is what God has done. If you're longing to be used by God, steward your pain, steward your story well. Get some answers from the Lord, because he will give them to you. Number six, what in me still needs healing? That's, again, another very brave and important question. What in me still needs healing? In other words, it's just time to assess the damages. You got to know that God is deeply committed to restoring in you whatever needs to be restored. He's committed to it. He loves you. He's for you. Do you believe that? I pray that you do. Sometimes we come through the storm kind of battered and we believe less about God, not more. And again, no shame in that. It's just, you just need to know God cares. He's committed. We care and we're committed. And if you need to just be, you know, some soul care and some self-care to get on your feet again, to get your energy back, that is okay. There are times the battle takes a toll and the Lord wants to heal you. So don't run from him, run towards him. And number seven, how am I better because of this battle? What has this trial done for you? What has this trial done in you? And what has it done through you? In what ways has the opposition served you well? Well, some of the ways that we can find that if our battle has served us well is if we come out of the other side of the battle going, you know what, I'm a little wiser to the enemy's schemes. Also, if we tend to take ourselves a little less seriously and take God a little more seriously, and if we know on a deeper level how to maintain joy and peace in our hearts while the storms rage, we get quicker at bouncing back, you know? We get wiser to the enemy's schemes. We find our footing maybe a little faster than we used to. And maybe if we find ourselves a little less attached to the things of this earth and a little more passionate about eternity and Jesus and all that it implies. We know our trials have served us well when we come through with a greater desire to worship God for who he is. And we know that our safest place is in the center of his will. As I get ready to wrap, I'm going to pray for you in a minute, but I'm going to read Romans 5, 3 through 5. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Endurance develops strength of character. Character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he's given us his Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. The Holy Spirit is such an incredible gift. It means you're sealed for the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. He will guard and he will guide you. He will give you that inner wince when you're off track. He will give you peace when you're on track. The fact that we have the Holy Spirit, that's just the first portion of our full inheritance that's coming to us. We are so blessed and are so loved, and we are so equipped to win in battle. I pray this encouraged you today. And Father, I lift up my friend today. I pray you pour out your spirit in a fresh new way. I pray, God, that you bring people in their path to remind them who they are, whose they are, and that they will overcome because you, Jesus, overcame. We love you, Jesus, and we want our faith to please you. So help us to worship you, to maintain joy, to be faithful in prayer, patient in affliction, knowing in our knower that it's good stuff coming and that we can persevere and prevail because you've equipped us to do so. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I pray you found some encouragement here today. I'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player and never miss a show.